Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the LIC's earnings conference call, H1 FY 2022-23. We have senior management of LIC led by Shri M.R. Kumar, Chairperson on this call. Before we hand over the call to LIC management, as a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. We now request the management of LIC to start the call, and I now hand over the conference to Chairperson of LIC, Shri M.R. Kumar, for starting the call. Thank you, and over to Chairperson, LIC.
Good morning, everyone. I am M.R. Kumar, Chairperson, LIC. On behalf of the senior management team, I warmly welcome all of you to the results update call of Life Insurance Corporation for the second quarter and half year ended September 30, 2022. The results and the presentation can be accessed on our website and on website of both the stock exchanges, BSE and NSE. Along with me, I have our four managing directors, Mr. Rajkumar, Mr. Siddharth Mohanty, Ms. Mini Ike, and Mr. B.C. Patnaik. Senior officials of the corporation present on this call are Mr. S.M. Jain, Executive Director of Finance and Accounts, Mr. Sunil Agrawal, CFO from the finance team, Mr. Dinesh Pant, Appointed Actuary and Executive Director, and Mr. K.R. Ashok, Executive Director from our actuarial team, Mr. P.R. Mishra, Executive Director, Investment Front Office and the Chief Investment Officer, and Mr. R.K. Jha, Executive Director, Investment Back Office from the investment team. R. Sudhakar, Executive Director, Marketing, is joining through phone. Mr. Hemant Buch, Additional Executive Director, Marketing, Bancassurance and Alternate Channel, is available here from the marketing team. Also present are Ms. Anju Bala Purushottam, Executive Director, CRM Claims, and Ms. Rachna Khare, Executive Director, CRM Policy Servicing from our CRM team, Mrs. Manju Bagga, Executive Director, Pension and Group Schemes, and Mr. Sanjay Bajaj, Head, Investor Relations. Before I provide an overview and detailed highlight of our performance for the half year ended September 30, 2022 and H1 FY 2023, I would like to inform two important points to all investors and analysts who have gathered on this call. First, that starting now, we will be able to present all data on a comparable basis with previous year time periods. Second, that as we had mentioned in our July 15 analyst call, we will be presenting to the market our Indian embedded value, that is IEV, this time, along with the results. I reiterate that going forward, we shall be disclosing the IEV twice a year, both as at 31st March and 30th September every year, along with our financial results. Now moving to key business operational and financial highlights for the first half of the financial year 2022-23. For the half year ended September 30, 2022, we have reported a total premium income of INR 230,456 crore, showing a growth of 23.87% over the corresponding period of last year, that is September 30, 2021. The individual new business premium income for H1 FY 2023 is INR 245,335 crore, and for H1 FY 2022 it was INR 21,964 crore. Renewal premium income on individual business for H1 FY 2023 is INR 103,203 crore as compared to INR 97,793 crore for H1 FY 2022. The group business premium income for H1 FY 2023 is INR 102,718 crore as compared to INR 66,296 crore for the corresponding period of last year. With this, we have not only retained our number one slot in the industry, but also grown our market share consistently quarter-on-quarter since the beginning of the calendar year 2022. Our market share as per IRDAI published data was 63.25% for year ended March 2022, and is now 68.25% for the half year ended September 30th, 2022, thereby showing an increase of 5% in the last 6 months. If we were to split the total premium of H1 FY23 by individual and group business, it would translate to INR 127,738 crore for individual business and INR 102,718 crore for group business. Therefore, we have a market share of 42.31% in individual business and 80.34% in the group business. As you can see that our market share on total premium basis continues to the largest, to be the largest in both individual as well as group segments. Let's look at the AP basis. Total annualized premium equivalent AP for half year ended September 30th, 2022 is INR 25,228 crore, which comprised of individual APE of INR 14643 crore and group APE of INR 10585 crore. Therefore, on APE basis, the individual business accounts for 58.04% and group business accounts for 41.96%. Further, in the individual APE, the par business accounts for INR 13328 crore and non-par amounts to INR 1315 crore. As you can see, our non-par share of individual APE is 8.99% and par is 91.01% for H1 FY23. On a comparable basis, you will recall that our non-par share for year ended 31st March 2022 on AP basis within the overall individual business was 7.12% and was 7.75% for quarter ended June 30th, 2022. Therefore, we continue to increase the share of non-par business within our individual business with every passing quarter. The profit after tax, PAT, for the half year ended September 30th, 2022 was INR 16635 crore as against INR 1437 crore for the half year ended September 30th, 2021. At this point, I would like to mention that the current period profit has increased due to transfer of an amount of INR 14271.80 crore net of tax pertaining to the accretions of the available solvency margin from non-par to shareholders' account. Further, to break up this amount of INR 14271.80 crore, it comprises of INR 5580.72 for the quarter ended September 30, 2022, besides INR 4148.78 crore and INR 4542.31 crore for the preceding two quarters respectively. Also, while on the subject of profitability, as a matter of prudence, we have made a provision of INR 11544 crore for employees' retirement benefits on account of the wage revision which has fallen due with effect from 1st August 2022. Further, I would like to inform all of you that we have received an amount of INR 25527 crore from the Income Tax Department and it comprises of income tax refund amount of INR 18900 crore and interest of INR 6627 crore on the same. Later on this call, the management team present here led by myself will be happy to answer in detail any questions that you may have on the elements of profitability just explained. VNB and VNB margins. Gross value of new business, VNB, is INR 4836 crore and net VNB is INR 3677 crore for half year ended September 30th, 2022. Further, the net VNB margin for the half year of FY23 is 14.6% as compared to 9.3% for the half year ended September 30th, 2021. Further, you may recall that for the full year ended March 31st, 2022, the comparable VNB margin was 15.1%. Also, for the first quarter ending June 30th, 2022, the VNB margin was 13.6%. The net VNB margin is higher by about 5.3% as at 30th September 2022 over 30th September 2021. Our IEV, Indian Embedded Value, as on September 30th, 2022, is INR 544,291 crore as compared to INR 541,492 crore for March 31st, 2022, and INR 539,686 crore on September 30th, 2021. The IEV has increased by 0.85% as on September 30th, 2022, over the IEV as of September 30th, 2021, and 0.52% over the IEV as of March 31st, 2022. The assets under management as on 30th September 2022 grew by 8.69% over the previous half year to INR 42,93,778 crore as compared to INR 39,50,633 crore as on 30th September 2021. Now I would like to inform you about our new product launches. In line with our strategy of increasing the proportion of the non-par business, we launched three new non-par products during the first year of FY 2022-23 to cater to customer requirements, namely LIC's Bima Ratna, LIC's Dhan Sanchay, and LIC's New Pension Plus respectively. During the half year ended September 30th, 2022, we sold 83,59,029 new policies as compared to 73,61,410 policies in the half year ended September 30th, 2021, registering a growth of 13.55% over the corresponding period of last year. As on September 30th, 2022, the total number of agents was 13,34,811 as compared to 13,26,432 as on 31st March 2022, and 13,43,587 as on 30th September 2021. The market share by number of agents as on September 30th, 2022 stands at 53.36% as against 55.97% for September 30th, 2021. On number of policies sold basis, the agency force sold 80,47,578 policies during the half year as compared to 70,13,133 policies during the corresponding period of last year, registering an increase of 14.75%. Therefore, you can see that more than 96% of our policies for the first half of FY 2023 were sold by our agency force. Even on premium basis, a little above 96% of new business premium came from our agency channel for H1 FY 2023. During the half year ended September 30th, 2022, other channels, that is the banca and alternate channels, contributed to 1.72% by number of policies and 3.37% by new business premium. For the half year ended September 30th, 2021, the banca had contributed 1.41% by policies and 2.31% by premium. This channel has grown by approximately 39% on number of policies basis and 63% on new business premium on year-on-year basis. Our management expenses ratio stands at 16.69% for the half year ended 30th September 2022 as compared to 15.33% for the same period of last year. To give some idea of persistency numbers, on premium basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th, and 61st month for H1 2023 stands at 77.62%, 73.84%, 67.85%, 64.73%, and 62.77% respectively, as compared to 78.77%, 70.91%, 67.6%, 64.81%, and 60.57% respectively for H1 2022. On numbers of policies basis, the persistency for the same periods for H1 FY 2023 stands at 65.21%, 61.63%, 54.93%, 52.46%, and 51.61% respectively, as compared to 67.69%, 58.27%, 55.35%, 53.67%, and 49.38% respectively for the previous year. On operational efficiency and digital process, we continue to focus on making our processes efficient. You may be aware that in the previous call on August 12th, 2022, I had mentioned to you about our print-to-post initiative. I'm happy to report an update that we have completed dispatching of 1.22 crore policies to policyholders since Jan 22 till 30th September 2022 using this initiative. In our digital initiative through the agent-assisted Ananda app, we have completed 3,14,955 policies using this app during the 6 months period ended 30th September 2022 as compared to 1,44,645 policies for the comparable period ended September 30th, 2021, thereby registering a growth of 118% on year-on-year basis. On the claims front, during H1 FY23, we have processed 87,65,411 total number of claims, which includes individual and group claims together. On an amount basis, during H1 23, the total maturity claims were INR 72,988 crore and the total death claims were INR 11,665 crore. On a comparable basis for H1 FY22, the total maturity claims were INR 78,146 crore and total death claims were INR 21,314 crore. Therefore, the death claims are lower by 45.27% and the maturity claims are lower by 6.6% on a year-to-year basis. We have a feet-on-street approach to business. We have a committed and trained workforce, employees of 1,01,313 as of September 30, 2022. Out of which 95% are in the branch and division offices, enabling them to be in close proximity to our customers, reinforcing our feet-on-street approach. Given the business progress, you will appreciate that we are firing on all cylinders of changing product mix, enhanced digitization, increasing market share, diversification of channels for distribution and new product launches. While doing all the above, each and every LICN holds close to their hearts our philosophy of Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham, which means your welfare is my responsibility, while discharging their duties to all our stakeholders. I thank you very much for listening in, and we are now happy to take any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Swarna Mukherjee from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the VNB margin walk that you have disclosed. So margins have expanded sequentially between first quarter and second quarter. Now, if I compare the VNB margin walk for what you have disclosed in first quarter and what you have been disclosed now, I see that between these two quarters, there is a significant impact of change in assumptions that is driving the sequential margin increase, while there is a slight negative impact of product mix change. So if you could give some color on what is this change of change in assumption, that is the first part. And the second part is that in terms of product mix, I see that share of group has increased, while share of PAR has gone down slightly. Now, in the gross VNB margins that you have disclosed, the margin for the group products are slightly higher than PAR. So my second question of on this is that if the higher margin product is going up slightly, why there is a negative impact? And that would be my first question, if you could take that.
Thank you. This is Ashok, Executive Director, actually. Regarding the first part, the major component of assumption that has changed and that is having a profound impact on VNB is the risk-free rate. The risk-free rate, you know, it's market derived from the market basis, and it changes on a frequent basis. And the increase in the risk-free rates has actually helped in increasing the VNB margin. Coming to the second part, yeah, it is true that the group business has shown an increase in the margin overall. The reason being that within the group business, the annuities have increased, the proportion of annuities have increased compared to the previous period. That has resulted in the increase.
Right, sir. So my question was that since the product mix is turning favorable from end of FY22 numbers, why do we see a negative impact of product mix that you have disclosed in VV walk?
Actually, it's the if you look at the total volume that is being done, group has done a significant volume. But if we look at the average, the VNB for the company as a whole, which is the average. The group's VNB is less than the average, and therefore it is actually pulling it down from the 15% reported asset marks. But however, because of the internal product mix within the group, it has resulted in the increase in VNB over what was reported to in the previous quarter as of June.
Okay. Actually, sir, what I see is that in group, individually also margin has increased from what it was last quarter. So that is where my confusion is on this. Anyway, sir, so I will take this offline. Also, if you could give the drivers of EV. So EV has been broadly stable in the last 6 months. Is there any non-operating variance impact which is driving this, and or any operating variance also, if you can throw some color on that?
We will be disclosing the AOM, which walk of EV on an annual basis, and I think in that next reporting period when we disclose, I think it will become more clear.
Okay, sir. Even if not exact numbers, if you can give some qualitative comments on that will help us understand this, it will be better.
Yeah, qualitatively, actually, what is happening is there are some market movements, and the impact on market movements actually brings the IEV down. And the operating variances, including the unwind, plus the VNB increases is up, and that has resulted in overall increases.
Okay, sir. That's very helpful. And last one, a bookkeeping question, sir. If you could share, last year's second quarter AP by product line or channel by channels, that would be very helpful, because otherwise, last year first quarter was impacted by the Delta wave, and hence it is there is some distortion in the normalized business environment. So difficult to gauge the 2Q performance in isolation. So if you could share that, that would be very helpful.
You can share that. You can do that later.
Yes. Separately. Sure, sir. Sure, I will get in touch with you. Thank you. So that's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Jay Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. Just two questions from me. So firstly, if we look at the EV breakup, the VIF is down quarter versus March 22, and A&W is actually increased. So can you, give the reasons for both? Because with the VNB accumulation, ideally and unwind, we should have seen, VIF doing a little bit better. So can you explain both of those two components of EV?
Yeah, this is Ashok. Actually, you must have heard our chairman saying that there has been a movement from ASM fund to the profit and loss account in order to make the use the capital efficient. And that has resulted in the movement between value in force and A&W. Therefore, it doesn't have much of an impact. But amongst the WIF and the A&W, there has been a movement due to these transfers.
Understood, sir. And sir, any thoughts on the draft commission and expense of management rules put by IRDAI, and how LIC falls within that framework?
Well, yes, I'm Dineshmant here. We have examined the draft regulations which have come from IRDAI, and LIC was in excessive lines of business and well within. And we are sure whatever actually has been proposed now also will make LIC's position more comfortable than existing. So we are okay with it. So I think the draft regulations which have come related to commission sector, on overall basis, we expect to be well within that.
So well within the 70% limit, right?
I'm not sure whether the 70% which we have been talked about continues, because since then a lot of discussions have happened within the industry and the IRDAI. And possibly the draft is still in review stages. A lot of discussions are happening. So I'm not sure at the end of it whether the 70% thing will remain or whether it will be linked to overall. To our understanding, whatever, last draft was shared between the industry, our position becomes more comfortable than before.
Understood, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Suresh Ganpati from Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So just two questions. First, of course, you don't take the EV breakup, but, sir, the market will give valuations only if EV goes up. And if your EV is flat since first half of last year, even if you record any amount of VNB, sir, people won't give valuations. So we need to get the EV growth up. So we are seeing 10,000 crores of VNB addition, but if EV is flat, then clearly that's a challenge. So we want to know the outlook on what kind of EV growth that one can expect going forward, because it is absolutely flat since first half of 22. So that's an outlook question. The second thing is, I'm looking at your net earned premium. That's up 27%, but your gross written premium is down 4% in the P&L that we are seeing. Now, this is net of reinsurance, and this number is usually lower than the gross written premium, but this quarter it is 30% higher than GWP, the net earned premium. Can you explain what exactly is this discrepancy here? Thank you.
Regarding the question on IEV, you may be aware that the fund bifurcation effect is performed on IEV, and that is one of the reasons that initial growth in IEV is a little bit slow. I think the way corporation is performing, we can hope to see better numbers going forward.
Okay, and the second question, sir? Net earned premium being higher than gross written premium and significantly higher.
Which number are you referring to in the...
No, so if you look at it, the GWP is 1 trillion rupees in 2Q. The NEP is 1.3 trillion rupees. This is a 30% higher number, GWP and NEP, whereas this number is always lower in the earlier quarters. This is before the investment income line item, there is NEP.
It is not there in the presentation anywhere, so which...
Okay. It is there in your release that you have given, the financial result release. Okay, maybe I can take this offline. Because this is the biggest contributor to your surplus from operations, So therefore, we thought this line item becomes important.
Can you refer which paragraph?
I'll just have a look at this and then come back to you. I just wanted to know this transfer from VIF to ANW. What line item will it go through the P&L? Where will you reflect it?
Actually, it is from movement from the investment income from the AIF fund, and it is it will be get reflected in the PAR business only.
And it will be ultimately deciding in the balance in the profit and loss account under reserves and surplus.
Okay. Yeah, I'll come back to you on this NEP question, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. Just the first one on the non-PAR, the vision or strategy that we have to increase it. So it's grown for the first half at 75%, individual non-PAR I'm talking about. Sir, so can you highlight some of the products that are doing well? You know, it was 300% last quarter YOY growth. Maybe there is a base effect there, but it's come down to 75. Just your thoughts on how this particular piece will likely pan out.
Sudhakar, can you take that? He's on the phone, right?
Anyway, you know, in the current year, almost, you know, see, if you see the current mix of LIC's products is 20 non-PAR products and, you know, 16 participating products. And in the recent past, we have launched, in fact, in the current year itself, there have been 5 products which have been launched. And if you look into this, you know, product details, they cater to different segments, including specific niche segment of banca, as well as, you know, saving, as well as pension segment also. Currently, we are doing very well. You know, the pickup has taken place in all these segments. You know, the large, one of the great contributors that we expect to be is the Pension Plus product, which we have launched under ULIP product. Plus, you know, the saving products under non-PAR also going to, you know, lead the growth in VNB margins as well as VNB and the change in product portfolio mix. So the strategy is here. In fact, you see, even in the group segment, we have added certain riders. Because riders, though, seem to be a very smaller part of it, but they also can add value to the regular product. And the margins therein are very strong. So the strategy is now, I think, the growth strategy for the corporation coming to the engine of non-PAR products would be all around, in fact, ULIPs. We have now full range of products in the ULIP. And the saving products are also there. So all of them are getting the traction now. And pickup has started. So in that direction. So I think all the saving products as well as ULI products are the good driver. And plus protection products also we are having a look, re-look into. So entirety is going to be a combination of now the revised marketing strategy as well as the available product basket which is there. And we also expect, you know, some more products to be added to this basket.
I'll just add, Kumar here, just to give you a perspective on the non-PAR savings, as of September 22, we are growing at almost 200%. 251%, and on the annuity, non-PAR annuity is growing at 7%, and the ULIPs have grown at 79%.
Okay. 251% on non-PAR savings, you said, 7% on non-PAR annuity, is that what you're saying, sir?
Yeah, that's true. Annuity, because of the base and quite a large base, I can give the figures if you want. Non-PAR annuity in terms of premium is 5,833 crores. That's at growing at 7.15%. And ULIP 1,507 crore growing at 79%. Non-PAR savings, slightly slower start, but still it has picked up. Almost 200 crores growing at 251%.
Sir, what are we selling? So which is the, is there a guaranteed product now that we are selling fully in the non-PAR savings?
See, non-PAR products typically itself means guaranteed. That's the classic difference between participating and non-participating products.
Fair enough.
It means everything therein is guaranteed. So, you know, though may have certain features of guaranteed addition, but the benefits in the, you know, non-PAR products are guaranteed. So typically all these non-PAR products have guaranteed.
Yeah, and just trying to compare versus say competition, what are some of our guarantee for your flagship products?
Yes.
Where are the guarantees, like rough range and also associated in terms of the hedging, if you could highlight us, please.
As far as guarantees are there, you know, in some of the products, we have recently launched our one product, single premium product, which is a closed-ended product. where the returns IRRs to the policyholders, you know, in such typical model points can go up to 6% plus also. So there's a range. You would appreciate that depending on the age and the term that is left. And you know, the returns could vary. That's why I'm telling you the top end of that could be 6% plus also, which is fairly attractive. So that's
What's the name of this product, sir?
Dhanvarsha. LIC is Dhanvarsha. So it's a typical 10-15 year product. We're allowing single premium. A lot of options are there. And so it really works out very well for the, starting from age 3 to age 60 years, that's the, you know, range at which it is available. And other products are also, you know, not exactly in the same, because it's a close-ended product. And we still have some other products in the pipeline also, so that we'll continue to work on that.
Got it, sir. And the last question is on the gross margins that you share on some of the product lines. We don't have net margins per product, but looks like group business margins have gone up, right, half over half. So can you just walk us through some of the drivers of that?
What happens in the group business also, you know, you would appreciate that there is a mix of business. You know, it ranges from products under technical risk cover to annuities. And annuities generally are higher, you know, VNB margins. So within the group also, when the product portfolio within the group changes, higher annuity products, or, you know, term protection products would lead to higher, you know, VNB margins. So, yes, you're right in there that within the group also, the margins have moved from some 10 plus to 12 plus, around 2.5% or so roughly. There's a change because the driver of the growth has there been annuity products within the group, also pension products. So
and would you share some split of the group business between annuity and non-annuity? Is that
exactly at this point of time, because right now we are giving on the largest, you know, overall line of business-wise, that is what we have shared.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipanjan Ghosh from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. Hope I'm audible. It's two questions from my side. First, you know, you alluded to the fact that you will not be using the embedded value walk on a biannual basis. But if you can shed some light on if your unwinding rates are materially different during the first half of the current fiscal compared to the second half of the last fiscal. This was my first question.
Yeah, can I answer that, or should I, you'll be continuing all the questions? Okay, I'll answer that. As, I think you are referring it to the unwind of ENB portion. Am I right?
Unwind of the EV.
Sorry?
Yeah. Unwind of the embedded value.
Okay, yeah. See, as I've already mentioned, the unwind portion, I can give you a flavor of it because the we'll be disclosing, preparing and disclosing the analysis of movement on a yearly basis. But now, since you have asked, what I can suggest is the unwind is the expected experience, which is in the interest rate. And in the long run, we can expect the unwind to be close to the best estimate assumptions, which will be between 8 and 9%.
Sure, sure. Second question is on the gross VNB margin that you report product wise. You have launched some amount of new products on the individual non-par business. And if I look at the last, you know, one or two halves of the last fiscal, or even the last annual number, it seems that your individual non-participating gross VNB margins have tapered down a bit. So would you want to shed some color on that? Is it like something related to the product level construct?
Yeah, sure. Actually, the major reason for this is the repricing of annuities. To make it more competitive.
Yeah. And my third question is more a data keeping question. You know, since the time of your listing and the first management report, we have not got some color on the global reserves that you have been holding. And I understand this dynamic and it keeps on changing, but if you want to get any color on that portion of your book.
The global reserves are more or less, it doesn't vary much on a quarter-to-quarter basis. So we can assume that it is more or less at the levels of the March 22.
Your COVID-19 reserves this year are 70 to 80 billion range?
Sorry? Can you repeat?
Your COVID-19 reserves, which were around, I think, 70 to 75 billion, they stay around that number?
See, actually, though the claims have started falling, we have not yet reduced the COVID reserve. We are still maintaining it and we are continuously reviewing it. So when the opportunity comes, right time comes, we will look at it.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Singla from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on persistency. So if I look at the press release, the persistency for this quarter, 13 months is down by around 500 basis points on a Q2 basis. Even when I look at the presentation, 13 months persistency continues to be very low for us and it's declined even further. Can you talk about maybe some of the challenges? And secondly, you talked about the war. Kind of negative operating
variance. Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Anuj, but your voice is not clear, sir. It is sounding muffled.
We're not able to hear it clearly.
Yeah.
Kindly repeat from beginning, if you don't mind.
Okay. Better? Is it better, sir?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. First question is with regards to persistency. So the persistency for the 13 months is very muted for us and it's declined actually in this the half year as well. And when I look at the press release, there seems to be a 500 basis points declining persistency for the 13 months in September versus June quarter. Can you sir talk about the drivers of driving this and is this leading to any kind of operating variance in our EV work?
See, actually, the persistency from quarter to quarter can at times be little, you know, variable. Because of the type of the business which is sold therein. As far as persistency's impact on, you know, EV walk, I'm not sure it is going to be any significant. That won't be much significant. However, you know, the corporation has done a lot of steps have been taken in the recent times. We looked into our product, you know, portfolio. And there were certain products which had the challenge in terms of persistency. So actually within this, you know, from we had review on two of our large selling products of the corporation in the micro segment, and they were modified. The ticket size was increased. And in recently, in last month also, some of the products which where we found persistency to be a challenge have been revised and the ticket size have been changed, the structures have been changed. Because they were few of them were large selling products with some persistency issues. We are very sure that with this sort of correction, even this you know short term persistency correction will happen very fast because that remains the area of very important focus for the corporation.
Okay, got it, sir. So second question is on the group side of business. While you did not give the breakup for the group business as such, is it possible to get some sense of what saving, group savings will be contributing to the group business? The reason I ask this question is because a lot of growth in this quarter has been driven by group, and we understand that group savings business tends to be lumpy. So just trying to get a sense of the sustainability of the growth in the group side.
Within group business also, you know, the largest contributor is the, you know, fund-based business, pension business, which is a significant contributor for this thing, for our group business. You know, almost, if I would say, that, you know, around 60% of this would be coming from, you know, fund-based business. But then almost 40% or so, slightly less than around that, is also coming from other lines of businesses, including insurance and the LUT. So it's a fairly, you know, because the business has been there for quite long. And let's also appreciate while we at times get concerned about the VNB margins, frankly speaking, but group business has been contributing almost equal amount of embedded value as the overall portfolio for our business. So in that context, in context of contribution to VNB, group has been contributing significantly. Of course, the VNB margins are lower. And good thing is that even in the group business, as explained earlier, because of larger contribution now coming from annuity business and pension business, the VNB margins have also taken up stage.
Got it, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wishes to ask a question, press star and one. The next question is from the line of Nishant Chavade from Kotak. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm looking at slide number 34, and this is essentially the breakup of new business premium. Is it possible for you to share a breakup in terms of APE in a similar manner?
We can do that. As of immediately, I may not have it. Kumar here. We can share it with you, no problem.
That would be nice, sir. Thank you. The other thing is, in this EV calculation, what proportion of business have you included? I mean, is it like 92%, 95%, or have you not been able to model the entire 100% business?
Sorry, can you repeat that question?
If I go back, in the EV that you had calculated in the past, you had included around 92% of the business, and some part of the business could not be modeled in the EV calculation. So the current EV that we can see for first half FY23, does it model 100% of the business?
Yeah, all the products have been modeled, and every time a new product is launched, that is also modeled. It's all taken
off. Okay, so there is no business of the corporation which is currently not part of the EV.
Is there anything not part of the EV?
No.
Yeah, so
within India,
I think some part of the business
captured now.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. That's fine. Thank you very much, and all the best.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one.
Yes,
the next question is from the line of Neeraj Toshniwal from UBS India. Go ahead.
Hello, sir. So on slide 21, just wanted your thoughts. As you already explained that obviously margin had tipped down in the individual non-par business, but can we further expect it to taper off here because markets are getting competitive in annuities, and given this competition and with the rise in IRR in the non-par saving as well, how do you think this will even go further down from this level?
No. See, here, let's be clear that, though we are saying that VNB margins have come down, it's not a significant come down from there, right? You would appreciate that this VNB margin, even from any period of review, would also depend upon the type of business, the model point, the nature of the, because within a product also, depending upon the which areas or which age groups or which, terms it is sold, VNB margins can vary. As rightly said earlier also, yes, it has to be right balance between what should be, because in a competitive market, we have to be careful about, what type of returns and benefits are being offered in the competition. So it's a right mix and right balance between VNB margin as well as, what is available and what is most useful for the policyholders is also going to be, considered. So this typically VNB margin would also depend upon what is available in the market, what is the overall strategy. So they may, but largely as we said earlier also, beyond VNB margin, a corporation is focused on, consistent improvements in VNB as a value also. So it is very difficult to say VNB margin will come down or go up because, when the products with higher VNB margin will pick up, that can go up also. But ultimately the market will reach a, because we appreciate it, suppose this 100% sort of, margins, cannot be achieved by any company. So, So a right balance will have to be there between the benefits which are given, and as the benefits increase, margins can come down. But then VNB as such a value can go up. So we are focused on striking the right balance, keeping the balance between the what is good for the customers, what is good for the shareholders, and what is overall good for the company as overall.
So my question is actually how much in the repricing journey we have actually achieved and how much would have been, you know, we might see in the coming quarters.
I think if we look at the past, that's suggestive of it. It was around 9.6 in September 21. It was 15 plus in March. Slightly, it came down to 13.6 and now back to 14.6. So journey can be seen. And if we compare the VNB values, the significant growth is going to be there. I would like to remain focused on that upward journey only from here onwards.
Okay, and on the non-par saving mix, if you can guide through on the internal targets to kind of, you know, change our product mix, if you can give more color on that, how we are planning to over the next 2 to 3 years.
Yes, rightly. So if you are listening to the earlier responses, clearly the growth rate in non-par products is very nice, but as a overall part of the portfolio, they continue to be around 5% or so, 5 to 6% or so. I'm talking about individual business, while the overall it is 30%. So, of course, the focus of the corporation, if you observe that in the recent past, for almost 1 year, we have been filing only non-par products, and now because the traction is developing there, the immediate goal is that within next few years, the product portfolio mix in the individual segment could possibly turn around to 75-25 sort of proportion, from current 95-5 or 93-7 sort of proportion. That is the ultimate goal. Once that happens, there could be significant change in the VNB margins also. We can just take the weighted average of what the value would be there. So there could be significant change in the VNB margin as well as the VNB for the corporation.
Got it. And so on the sign up with Policy Bazaar, I think now with Bima Sugam coming in, what would be our strategy to increase the business from the Policy platform, or we will actually, you know, look at the means and look at Bima Sugam more seriously and get all in over there. So what would be your strategy and with the guidelines with the opening of the exchange from the government? Any color on that?
Overall, the government strategy is to, you know, leverage all the channels and scopes and platforms which are available. Without naming any, you know, because our ultimate goal is that we have to be on the trajectory of growth, and naturally in that, journey, the digital is going to be very important and critical. So whether available from outside platforms or within our own, you know, technology sophistication, we are, corporation is working hard in that direction, because we realize that, you know, this technology, it's not that our corporation has not done almost now, you know, large part of our business procurement, as well as, transactions are happening on digital platform. So we are working on this direction that, you know, all the sources of handles of growth in that direction are taken care of. So that's important for us.
But any particularly, any feedback on the Bima Sugam platform?
I think it's a good initiative, and we are all examining in what best manner we can, you know, leverage that for within our marketing strategy.
Got it. And there's one generic last question on the sensitivity. If I see between the on slide 18, while the increase on 100 basis point is 1.2% on the VNB and minus 0.6% on the EV, there's huge variation on the same decrease of 100 basis point. Generally, we see division, but it's quite on the higher side. What kind of mix we have in the portfolio and why such variation?
This is Ashok. Actually, you are referring to the sensitivity of reference rates to embedded value or to VNB.
Yes, sir.
See, in case of embedded value, because of the base, the impact on reference rates are not much. At the same time, you cannot expect the movement both upside and downside to be the same because of the non-linearity in the model itself. In case of value of new business, the decrease in the reference rate is around 3.4%, which has come down from 4.7% reported in the last period of March 22.
Oh, sir. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahek Shah from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. I have two questions. I would first like to ask, where will the 115 billion wage revision appear in the EV move? Actually, I'm sorry if I just missed this. And the second question is on the 145 billion transfer from non-PAR to shareholder funds. So you have mentioned that 45 billion is pertaining to Q4 of FY22. So any color on how you could, change the accounts like when they were already published? That are my two questions. Thanks.
We are not changing our accounts. We are mentioning it as a disclosure of the accounting policy changes that happened in this during this reporting period. And because of that, there were certain accretions that had happened in the previous three quarters, which has been accounted now and has been disclosed as a part of the change in accounting policies. And the breakup of all the three quarter figures, net of taxes, are mentioned in the disclosure.
Sure, sir. Thanks. And sir, on the $115 billion wage revision, which part of the EV will it appear in?
Which part of the EV will appear in?
Yeah, like the economic variance or the operating variance, something like that.
See, first of all, it is a clarification that it's not actual wage revision. It's a prudent step on the part of the corporation to provide for it so that a systematic provisioning can be made. This does not in any way, comment upon actual wage revision or any distribution. Secondly, it is a part of the expense only.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That answers my question. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ashish Agarwal from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good morning. I just have one question, is that when I look at persistency numbers for 13 months, for let's say on Q1 and Q2 basis, I can see that there is an improvement year on year. But when I look at the press release and persistency has been disclosed on premium basis on 1H23 numbers, I see a decline on 13 month level. So what is the reason behind that?
I think this was answered partly earlier also. I think it depends on the nature of business, as Dinesh was raised on the 13th month. Going forward, I mean, we'll see how we can improve it. But it would mean that we have to look at the 13th month of the previous year as well, and the kind of business and the lines of business that we had. Since we are changing the lines of business, I believe short term, there could be some fluctuation like this. But we are confident that in the long term, that we'll be able to improve this structure.
See, typically, it's a reflection of the cohort of the business done. You know, for example, as I was explaining to you, there were certain products which had lower persistency in the past, right? The real steps which have been taken for them now will get reflected in the, following 13-month persistencies, because the current 13-month would be including business done in the past. So, any number coming down today does not necessarily reflect these steps and decisions of today. But as I was explaining, four products have been reviewed recently. So you will see the impact of the same will get reflected as going forward, 13 months from quarter to quarter will be seen from there. And we are continuously working on how to bring about higher value. Thank you.
No, sir, just one thing is that how is that, arithmetically, how are we calculating? Because on quarterly level, both quarters, Q1 and Q2, if we are showing improvement on year and year level, then how on half year it's, coming down by 1%. So, Q1 and Q2 is showing an improvement on 13 month, year on year level, but half year it's coming down on press release. So, I'm not able to understand that part.
No.
Yeah.
So actually, if you see, there is two metrics which are very important. One is 13 month, and another is the 61st month. So 13 month, as Mr. Dinesh answered to you, there were some products which were seeing a lot of lapsation, so it has been closed down. So along with it, some products which should have been renewed also, it did not get renewed. So it is having that 0.5% what you can call dip. But if you see the 61st month persistency,
it is risen by almost to 150, 200 basis points from 60.57 to 62.77. So those are the areas of concentration, so that large number of policies remain in force for longer period of time. And yes, on the first year business, when you find something going very wrong, we have to take a corrective action. That has got reflected here.
Okay, thank you, sir. I'll take it offline. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parkapan Kumar Swami, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for giving the opportunity. This is regarding the transfer of profit from accretion of non-par, accretion from non-par account to the shareholders account. Is there anything pending for the default period? It's actually showing for 3 quarters. Is there anything pending that needs to be transferred to shareholder account?
Is there anything left? Because of bifurcation, you come. Accretion transfer, the accretion, is anything left? Or this is all this kind of question is asked.
Yeah. The bifurcation of the funds happened in the month of Jan, and the accretion started when the fund was broken into participating, non-participating. Although it happened effective September, but actually the fund got bifurcated in the month of Jan. And since then, whatever is accretion happened in the non-par fund has been taken care of by the way of this transfer.
Nothing is left.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Then,
whatever will be accretion in the future.
The future acquisitions will be regularly now accounted for in the respective quarters.
Okay. Thank you. What is the dividend policy of the company?
Dividend policy.
Dividend policy is something that is decided by the board only, as we will not be able to comment on this
one. Okay. No prefix policy, like 30% or 40%.
No prefix policy. The call will be taken by the board. It is already provided in the relevant regulations and the provisions of the Act itself.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Kumar, Chairperson, LIC, for closing comments.
Thank you very much for all those who have joined in, and thank you, Ritu, and thank you, management team and my colleagues here. Thank you. All the best to everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Life Insurance Corporation of India, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.